Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we're spending the hour talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, or as it's becoming known, post-traumatic stress injury. We speak with a psychologist from the VA Medical Center in Sioux Falls later in the hour. But first, we welcome South Dakota's Secretary of Veteran Affairs, Larry Zimmerman, on the phone today from Rapid City. Secretary Zimmerman, welcome.
Good morning, Lori. Great to be back with you guys again and talk some veteran issues.
Always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Let's start with this declaration from the governor about a day to sort of recognize and raise awareness for post-traumatic stress. Is that a conversation that you had with the governor? Is that something that was planned for a while?
You know, we have talked about it. This is, I think, our second or third year that we're doing a proclamation. I mean, the governor is very aware of veteran issues and what's going on. He's the one that started this department, if you will. And Post-Traumatic Stress Injury Awareness Day is what we're proclaiming. Whether we call it injury awareness or disorder, to me it's all about the awareness and education. That's what's important.
You know, it occurred to me as I was getting ready for your visit with us today that we know very little about your time in service and how it might relate to changes you've seen with stress injuries and such. Do you want to give us a little background, a little personal background, and tell us how you've seen it evolve?
Well, you know, I'm a 73 to 76 active Army guy. Thank God every day I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in Fort Carson and worked with Vietnam veterans coming home and for those 3-plus years. And then joining the Guard for 30 years or whatever, and in 2008 going to Afghanistan as a combat veteran. And everybody, you know, has that leaving the family and going to serve and fighting for their country that's in that. So your feelings, it's hard to explain, but there's some stress, if you will, of just doing that. And then if there's combat or loss of life or anything that goes on as a stressor for those service members, it's huge. And so I guess all of us have that. I might have that little inkling of the stress, as, you know, you're a Marine. Hoorah! You know what that's about. And there was some loss of life, and it's a thing to live through and hard to make that go away. It doesn't go away.
Tell me a little bit about some of those veterans coming home from Vietnam. Were you having the conversation in the 70s with them about transitioning home? Was that an awareness of that?
You know, I think it was more the survival thing. I mean, I truly, in Carson and watching all of my fellow soldiers come home to Carson, and I have not having been there, drugs, alcohol, you know, I look at it today in a whole different light because of what I do and where I work and what I've seen. Back then, I think it was more survival and or running away from what they'd just been through and or hiding out from what they've just been through. But I relate, I look back and the alcohol and the drug use of all those, or many of those that returned home, they were burying themselves in and from what they had been through and seen. And so, you know, some of them still haven't gotten help. And I know there's, ladies and gentlemen, my brother-in-law talked about a World War II veteran he lived next door to in Sioux Falls, 73 years. And still has nightly nightmares.
Wow.
Phenomenal, Lori. It's just phenomenal.
Fast forward to 2008 and Afghanistan, and you had an awareness about some of those challenges, including substance abuse challenges. What kind of conversations were you having then, and how was your leadership impacted by your experience watching folks come home from Vietnam?
Well, it was twofold, if you will. I'd gotten to see how bad war can hurt people and affect the service members that have been through it. And even over in Afghanistan, I mean, I was in the northern provinces over there as a sergeant major, ops sergeant major, and we had contractors that were trying to deal drugs we had to get rid of. again, people, certain factions or percentages of them find different ways to hide out. But, you know, one thing we can't take for granted, not everybody was doing that. I mean, we had, we had solid coalition forces, Army, Air, Navy. We're over there with those coalition forces, doing the right thing and going in the right direction. But it's hard, if you will, to maintain and be able to lead all of those factions of folks through the missions they need to go to.
Let's talk about your work today as South Dakota's Secretary of Veterans Affairs. We're going to talk to a physician from the VA, which is federal. Talk about the state benefits for veterans who live in South Dakota. Is it for anyone who resides in South Dakota? Is it for someone who's enlisted from the state? How are those benefits addressed?
You know, there's great benefits for both of those folks that have enlisted. When they went in, have the benefits of burial and things like that that could come back home. The other thing, Lori, is I think it's important, within the borders of South Dakota and all the veterans, and even if you move here from another state, the state wants to be an advocate for you, and that's part of our mission and vision, Voices for Veterans. But we have county and tribal service officers throughout the state that are there for you to walk in and see if you need help. I'm just working with a veteran. I graduated high school with him and had a call 2 days ago about, hey, can I do this? Well, okay, so from 1975 till today, he's not looked back or tried. And, you know, it's not a handout. It's a check on. It's like a checkup with your doctor. See if there's things available for the service you've given to our country, and so exciting. So any and all veterans within the borders of the state have opportunities and or resources for them from the state and the federal side.
And I think every time we have this conversation, after it's over, within a week, someone will contact me and say that they reached out to find out about their benefits. So people are still trying to figure out, you know, what's available and who to ask. Where do they find those resources?
Well, I think what's great is, you know, we have a website, vetaffairs.sd.gov, that you can go on and find your county and tribal service officer. There's a map on there, and you click on your county, and boom, the name comes up of that person that is a contact for you. Of course, our phone number at the peer office and the Sioux Falls office can be called 605-773-3269 and get you out to the resource. Lori, it's interesting. The Veterans Service Organizations, the Federal Veterans Administration, the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs, and many other facets are there to help. So call any one of those. And I say go into your county and tribal service officer and or our department to find where you need to go, and then just do a sit-down and a checkup with your DD-214 or any forms you have from your service. Family members, too. Bring your veterans in.
Secretary Zimmerman, I'm wondering how often, you know, when we talk about post-traumatic stress injury, how often is that part of your conversation in your office with your staff? How much bandwidth does it really get?
Well,
compared to the other benefits that you're talking about every day?
I think I'm going to give it a 33% of our bandwidth, because there is that 20%, plus there's folks that maybe not even know, and PTSD or PTSI is a psychiatric disorder that can occur following an experience or witnessing of a life-threatening event. Military combat, natural disasters, terrorist incidents, serious accidents, or physical or sexual assault in adult or childhood. There's just so many facets. And our veterans, having served and living through combat, I mean, I say the stressors there, it's how much that affects each individual that can differ. But our bandwidth is tied up with PTSD.
from a National Guard perspective, how do you prepare for a deployment then, knowing that that's on the horizon? And as you said earlier, knowing that there's these regular stresses to leaving home and traveling and all the things that are going to happen, how do you prepare for the worst?
You know, I think the best thing that's happened over the years, and this is active duty and Guard and Reserve, I've seen it on Fort Hood, resiliency training, it's called. You know, you don't know what it's like until you hear that sing of the bullet going by you. You don't know what your reaction is going to be. Resiliency training and some mind easing exercises, whether it's breathing, whether it can help soldiers prepare for that. And then when it does happen, they're in a little better mindset. So I think pre-mobilization for active duty and the reserve components for resiliency is a great tool to help them when they do get overseas and or find themselves in that combat situation.
How does this affect a family, a community? What have you seen when someone returns home, has PTSD, and doesn't receive treatment? Have you seen that sort of enacted out?
Well, and unfortunately, you know, the fortunate part is some seek help and find it. The unfortunate part is some don't. But, you know, it's an old cliche, but the rock thrown in the pond and the ripples growing, and they get across the pond eventually. Might be a little tinier at the far side. But your family members, your employers, your church groups, everybody can be affected by this. But the great turnaround of that is all of those people can help you. And I think lending that ear to listen, being aware that there could be an issue, whether it's temper and anger fluctuations or just sensing that that person has got an time of panic going on, be aware, be there to help, and be there to listen. I think it's important. 256,000 people in the state, families, military, and veterans. That's how many of us there are. So there's a lot of people to help.
What do you wish you had known in 1973, 1976, that you know now that you'd like to go back and tell yourself about PTSD?
I'd like to have been able to take those guys that were shooting up and having horrible alcohol issues because of what they've been through, and take them, walk them to the VA, and seek out that psychiatrist, that counselor for them. Because today, lost track of all of those folks, and you don't know if they're in a gutter or became successful or got cured. And if I'd even thought about VA as a service member in the 70s, I'd be a lot better off. They would be better off, I think.
And what's your message to someone listening today who maybe tuned in because they knew we were going to talk about this, knows someone who is suffering, has questions? What do you want to say to them?
Seek out the help. It is worth it to have that counselor connect with you, to get that help, and it's not just for you. And for those family members listening, it's not a force issue of getting your service member to a counselor or a doctor, but can have conversations with them, work with them, visit a veteran center. There's one in Sioux Falls and Rapid City that combat veteran counselors in it. Try to get them in with somebody to get the help and be able to converse and have that conversation about their issues.
Larry Zimmerman is South Dakota's Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Secretary Zimmerman, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being here.
Lori, thank you, and thank you for your service.